I do want to add my greetings to that Allison has just given. And I've been told that there's a couple of you that didn't wear your hearing aids today, and so that I need to speak up. I've given permission for you to signal me like this if I'm not speaking up sufficiently. And others of you who didn't tell me may want to take advantage of that that opportunity. We've been looking for a few weeks at the subject of characteristics of servants as we see them. T.W. Hunt, who wrote the materials for The Mind of Christ, we've been looking at some of his materials. He commented that 14 times in the New Testament the word servant appears with some kind of a modifier that expresses a little bit of an indication of how we think about servants. And we've walked through a number of these. We have four left in the 14 that we're looking at. And so without going back and reviewing too terribly much, I'd like to have a start this morning looking. Now, the place that we find this, we've been in a single verse for a couple of weeks now, and that verse is 2 Timothy 2:24. So if you have your Bibles or somebody near you has a Bible, see if you can look at 2 Timothy 2:24. And in order to see this in its full setting, I think we need to back up a couple of verses. So I want to start reading at 2 Timothy 2:22. There are in verse 24 four of these characteristics and a fifth one in the verse or two that follow. So we'll read that whole section. Verse 22, 2 Timothy chapter 2. Turn away from the passions of youth. Concentrate on uprightness, faith, love, and peace, in union with all those who call on the Lord with a pure heart. Avoid foolish and undisciplined speculations, understanding that they only give rise to quarrels. And a servant of the Lord, this is the focus verse, must not engage in quarrels, but must be kind to everyone, a good teacher, and patient. That's our word for today. He must be gentle or meek, the King James translation says, when he corrects people who oppose him, in the hope that God may give them a change of mind so that they recognize the truth and come to their senses, escaping the trap of the devil who made them his captives and subjugated them to his will. Now we're looking at two things. We're looking at the characteristic of patient or patience. One translation, I think we noted this on the board, has the phrase patient when wronged, and thus when another translation says not resentful or forbearing, that begins to make a little bit more sense. I'd like to start this morning by asking you, when you think of the word patient or patience, generally there is something that you're being patient about. One of the things where patience or being patient is helpful, appropriate, called on.
Dealing with ultimate equipment. Working on an IT help desk.
Okay. For the benefit of the hearing challenge, dealing with other people, working on an IT help desk, and I heard somebody say, anytime you're dealing with children, is that what? These are times when being patient or when the quality of patience might be appropriate, called for. Anytime. Dealing with children. Would you permit me to expand on that last one for just a moment before I take some of the other hands that are popping up? Anytime dealing with children or people who act childishly. Permit that? Was that the point you were going to make? I see your... Yeah.
Or...
I had a conversation with my wife yesterday where she suggested a small change in one of the rooms of our house, to which I said no too many times, too quickly. Can I just say, let me say it this way, and I don't think you're going to like it, but let me say it this way. Did you notice I'm changing it and seeing how she does with it? Anytime you're dealing with change, there's a challenge. Anytime you're dealing with change, there's a challenge. I know it's not the same. I changed it.
I know
she's having to deal with change. You don't like that much change, do you?
I don't want you.
I make my point. John and then Billy.
Dealing with a wife that can't get around the house.
Sandy okay to that?
Yeah, well, she's got things that just can't move around the house all that much.
Health issues.
So I'm
dealing with people who hit the board so hard that they push the little marker back up.
Maybe I should just say being a gopher.
Can anybody see how much the need of patience just suddenly grows when you start thinking about when patience is needed? Billy, you've been patient.
Dealing with family situations, when I say not only immediate family, but brothers, sisters, I dealt with that in the death of my mother.
The closer and the more patient you need.
Dealing with any situation in which you are not in control.
Uh-oh.
You can't control it.
Dealing with change, dealing with control issues. Yeah, you had one. I'm going to let Kitty.
Health issues, your own and other people's.
Yeah, maybe that's a better way of saying this, dealing with health issues as a specific example of this. And I heard you say your own and others. Dealing with health issues, your own and others. Mm-hmm. Back behind John. Justice. This seems to have touched the nerve of some of them. I'm going to ignore you for one or two more minutes, but I haven't forgotten that you want back into this thing. Yes, ma'am.
Having patience with the drivers that you think are being irresponsible, and maybe if you're going to the speed limit, or you know, the drive when comes on, they have to be on your bumper or pass you, and you want to do ugly things, but you refrain.
You notice how the longer the story gets, the more clear the problem becomes. I did hear a story one time that a woman whose husband was coming home from work down a certain road heard a radio report that somebody on that road was driving the wrong way against the traffic. And he had a cell phone, so she called him to warn him of this. And when she warned him, he said, "One person driving the wrong way, there's hundreds of them." Do I need to work to make that point? I think you're illustrating something really important here. I'm not sure we've articulated it yet. John.
I got one. I'm waiting for God to answer your prayers.
Oh, yeah.
waiting on the Lord to answer prayers.
Who else? There you go. Try to write down the last one while articulating the next one.
Yes. Well, sometimes my roommate goes to Belmont Methodist Church, and she said she's learned that the Lord answers prayer, always answers prayer. Sometimes the answer is no. Sometimes the answer is slow. Wait for it.
These are going to rhyme, aren't they?
Yes. And sometimes the answer is go.
Okay. Who else wants in on this?
Dealing with inflexible
thoughts. No, that's okay. I'm calling you. I'm acknowledging you, but I'm going to call on her later.
I'm dealing with inflexible people.
Remember when I talked a few weeks ago about this book called Parent Effectiveness Training? Remember the admonition that came out of that book that anytime you're talking about interpersonal problems, you need to word those in a way that you're making I statements and not you statements? I don't know why I said that. Just might be an appropriate thing to say.
Of course, I think of my classroom and my students.
Mm-hmm.
And I think drive me to distraction. And I try to be patient with them, but there's an attitude that goes with patience, and sometimes I think I'm being patient, and I'm really telling them, I say, hang on, wait a minute, and they don't understand that I can't deal with it right now. So I don't know how to say this, but there's an attitude of patience that allows the person to understand that you're just waiting or whatever it is you're doing.
There's a temptation that I succumb to too often, and I probably shouldn't. And that's when I grit my teeth and I say, you just don't know how patient I'm being with you. I doubt that does any good. Some of you may be aware that I have a searchable Bible built into here. In fact, I've got four or five of them. And so I searched on the word patient star. That means that I get to see the word patience and the word patient and any variation that would start that way. Psalm 106:14. Just write it down. Don't look it up. But this is out of the New Living Translation. Psalm 106:14. In the wilderness, their desires ran wild, testing God's patience in that dry land. So he gave them what they asked for, comma, but he sent a plague along with it. There's a temptation when we start thinking about patience that we think about the patience we have for other people and cast ourselves as virtuous. And indeed, that's what the context is calling for. I think we probably need to spend a little bit of time expressing some level of gratitude for those who are patient with us, and that might start with the Lord. And Scripture seems to teach that there comes a point where God's patience has a limit. And when that limit is reached, God says, okay, I keep telling you not to go this way, and you keep saying that's the way you want to go, then you go ahead. And this verse, I think, expresses that moment about as well as anything. they tested his patience in that dry land, and so he gave them what they asked for, which sounds odd to the ear until you hear that comma, but he sent a plague along with it. I would encourage you, as you think about this particular virtue, to think about times when maybe people need to be patient with you. As I think about times when maybe people need to be patient with me. Sometimes those might be too many times. Maybe I should live my life in such a way that people don't have to be patient with me quite as much or quite as often. Let's explore that for a minute. What are times when people need to be patient? What are times when people need to be patient with you? We sort of cast ourselves as the positive ones here. Let's turn that spotlight the other way.
Well, every time I open my mouth.
Interestingly enough, I will disagree with that one. But you can, maybe you can say more often than I wish. Because what you just said is pretty important, and that's not one of those times. When I speak, and then out of turn, without thinking, when I speak without considering other points of view, we could maybe add a few more if that's supposed to be an A, of course. Maybe people need to be patient with me. Yeah. When I'm impatient with others, maybe others turn around and become patient with me for a little while. Either that or what? It escalates, and it escalates really fast. Sorry? You may not admit that to be heard.
They get impatient with you. If you continue to be so impatient with them, then they turn you off.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. That one can escalate pretty quickly. Bob? And then John?
Is there a place to be patient with the elderly? We are not what we used to be. In memory, in energy, in hearing, and seeing, there is a general diminishment that makes us different. And I've never really understood until I came to the past. Been around old people for a long time and tried to minister to them, but I really did not know what they were like and what they would feel.
Until you started to be like that and feel that.
Now, you didn't speak up then, and I didn't hear what
Nevertheless, you were. Yeah, what I said was, and I think this may be true in way, way more places than just this one. You very often cannot minister properly to people when you don't know where they've been and what they've experienced. And until you have been there and until you have experienced it, you can't see the full dimension of what a ministry and an interaction with those folks is like. What I wrote on the board was dealing with those who are diminished. Some people start that way. Some people turn that way as they go on.
Well, and roles reverse so often with our parents. Mm-hmm. You become the parent and they become childlike. And you need a lot of patience there.
Yeah. John?
Well, what Bob was saying, Sandy, for instance, normally is very patient with having to repeat things to me about one, two, or three times. I compliment her on her patience, even though on her face sometimes.
Come it all, brother. the amen corner kicked in. I saw Allison and then Ralph.
I was just going to say, those who have diverse opinions or just opinions different than yours, especially in this wonderful election season that we're in, I don't know what we gain by some of the ways in which we are patient with each other.
Barbara and I have learned to cope with that a little bit.
You're doing better than I am.
Well, there are moments when I'm telling a story of something that happened when she was present to observe what had happened and therefore had her own version of the story. And she has tenderly and gently and patiently gotten to the point where she just says quietly, this is one of the points where opinions diverge.
Memories
diverge. Letting the world know that there might not be total and full veracity in the story they're about to hear. But without closing things down too much. Yeah. I think this one may be bigger than we know. Peer pressure steps in at this point. You get into one crowd and somebody starts saying something and somebody else says the next and somebody else says the next and somebody else says and somebody else says, and all of a sudden, look where it's led. In my particular shop, in my particular place where I work, I do not think it is an overstatement to say there are a few people working, teaching chemistry in a college in the United States that have a better place to work than where I work. It is amazing how angry people can get in my department over the conditions in which they work, because they start to feed each other and they don't step back to take a broader look. That's not the same thing as what Allison is talking about, but it's some of that same thing. If you start getting in a group where one point of view starts to get amplified, people who might have an alternative point of view are going to be either silenced or shunned or driven away. And the idea of having a dialogue that can accommodate points of view that are not completely and perfectly in line with each other, that's difficult to accomplish. Ralph, you've been patient.
I'm using a hobby to kind of try to teach myself patience. Explain that. We stained glass and make some lamps and windows and things. And the other night they asked me, how did you get into it in stained glass? And I said, because I was so impatient and I was aware of it. Certainly in the business, and somebody said, well, why don't you take the stained glass company and slow down a little bit? So the reality of it is, you have to be careful cutting the glass or you'll cut yourself. You have to be careful grinding it or you make it too small or too large. You have to be careful pulling it or it come apart when you get to it. And so the point being, to get to the ultimate goal of having something beautiful, I have to do it slowly and patiently. I thought about it the other day when I felt very impatient with the grandchildren picking on each other. I thought about the process calmly talking. That's the point. Sometimes you have to go through a lot of stages. I use that as a tool to help me.
Did I tell you last week that I've been trying to watch a little bit of NASA TV? It was either Monday or Tuesday of this week that they moved the big Columbia experiment module out of the payload bay of the shuttle into the place where it would hook on to the space station. My student, Leland Melvin, was operating what I think were one of the two robot arms. I think there was a second one attached to the space station because I kept seeing two of these in some of the photographs I saw. But he was the one who did the main grappling onto the thing and picked it out, and it showed it sort of turning like this and then going into the space station above where the thing was. He had to move that thing a total of about 30 feet. Do you know how long it took to move it from the cargo bay over to here? Moved it 30 feet. I think they said 42 minutes. You know how fast it moves when you go 30 feet in 42 minutes? Slow. They had an interview with Leland, and I happened to catch his words about that. And they were asking him about teamwork. And, you know, what did he learn when he was an athlete, and how was that applying now? And one of the things he said was, well, the best example of teamwork on this mission was when we moved the Columbia into place. There's too much weight for it to move at more than just a tiny little bit each moment. And I had to work with five other people, two of them outside. I suppose the one was his spotter because he wasn't the only one watching where his arm was. And maybe he said six because maybe the other robot arm had the... He had to work with these people to move that thing so slowly. He said, because if I do anything wrong, the least little bit, not only can something very valuable and irreplaceable be ruined, but lots worse things can happen. Slowing down is something that Americans don't do very well, a lot of them anyway. So the fact that you recognize that maybe you need to and found a way to do that is admirable. Some people garden, but just in case you're worrying, that's not me. Yeah.
Parts of the economy, things move so fast. People with a disability or somebody who doesn't think the way you do or is a little bit slower, I mean, the world just runs them over. And sometimes, like you say, you just have to slow down and recognize that everybody's not going to be going 10,000 miles an hour.
When I think about what you're saying with when do people need to be patient with me, something I even use it with my students at times, and I've used it with people that I have. I'm trying to understand something. It's like, be patient with me while I'm trying to understand. And I even tell that to my students, because I have students that are very, very difficult to understand their rationale for doing things. And I look at them square in the eye and I tell them, I'm trying to understand. Be patient with me, but I use it. I'm working now to use it in my marriage. And I use it when I think about in trying to develop that ability to pray, and I'm using it now with God, is be patient with me while I'm trying to understand. There's a verse in Psalm 46, be still and know that I am God. My particular, it's a different translation, I'm not sure which translation, but I have the NASB. And this one says, cease striving and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted on the earth. Cease striving.
The word forbearance is down here. Those of you who know something about the English language and have a dictionary in your head, what does forbearance mean? Hold fast. Action that you might want to take. Something that you might want to do. You hold back. You wait. Cease striving isn't the same thing, but it sure is connected. The one is our relationship with a patient God. The other one is our relationship with people who test our patience. And I'm trying to make us, lead us to looking at both of these this morning.
Is that where you're looking before you leave? Amen.
That's where measure twice, cut once. As opposed to
cut once.
Measure once. Cut twice. For what?
Yeah. I've got enough of being patient with myself. Because I'm kind of slowing down. We talked about Bob was saying, I used to be able to do so much and do it fast, and like yesterday. And I've got myself being patient with myself. I mean, it carries over to everybody else.
Yeah, this doesn't exactly fit, but maybe it'll break the tension of the moment. There was a sign outside the restaurant that said, all you can eat for $1.49. Man's inside eating, calls the waitress over, says, I'd like some more. Waitress says, that's all you can eat for $1.49. read you a part of a verse out of the book of Ruth. Who are the big characters in the book of Ruth? Ruth! Thank you! Let's go for the low-hanging fruit first, right? Ruth, who else?
Boaz.
And once you get Ruth, you get Boaz. But
Naomi.
Right? Here is a sentence that Naomi said. It's out of context. She's actually talking about the developing relationship between Ruth and Boaz. But here's the sentence. Just be patient, my daughter, until we hear what happens. Just be patient, my daughter, until we hear what happens. The idea of you take a step, and then instead of taking another step and another step and another step, you take a step and see what happens. That doesn't always work. Sometimes you can't work. People tend, in my view, I need to have my sign because I'm giving you an opinion. They tend to be overly patient or ridiculously impatient. And finding a middle ground between those two seems to me to be pretty tough. Being properly patient. Reaching a point where, okay, you know, that's enough. Too soon. Or never reaching the point of that's enough. And it's a challenge to see that. Let me take you to where T.W. Hunt takes you in the application of this. And then we'll come back and look at the characteristic in between. Okay? Remember, on each of these, I've been trying to say, if this characteristic develops in a person, then that enables God to do certain things in the lives of people. And the context is a little funny. It's a little hard to see patience in this of the sort that he's talking about. But the text that he takes you to is in John chapter 14. And it's not one of God's servants who's being patient in this picture. It's Jesus himself being patient with one of God's servants, or with a whole bunch of them, maybe. John chapter 14. Okay? Remember what we're looking for. We're looking for a characteristic that, if developed, opens the door, enables God to do certain things in the lives of that servant or through that servant. Philip says, this is verse 8 of John 14, Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and then we'll be satisfied. Jesus said to him, and I can see him shaking his head as he said it, have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still don't know me? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? What I say to you, I do not speak of my own accord. It's the Father living in me who is doing his works. You must believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe it on the evidence of these works. In all truth, I tell you, whoever believes in me will perform the same works as I do myself, and will perform even greater works, because I'm going to the Father. Whatever you ask for in my name, I will do, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me for anything in my name, I will do it. And then he follows that up with this sentence, if you love me, keep my commandments. God's patience with us has a purpose. And what he's saying is, the purpose is to get to the point where your prayers start to have power, where your interactions with the Lord are such that the door is open for things to start to happen. Two things come to mind. One is absolutely silly, and one is, I think, more serious. There's a movie called Little Big Man. It was one of the earliest movies that Dustin Hoffman starred in. It shows him living a life of hostage to the Indians and being raised as an Indian. And there's a moment in there when the old chief he's developed a relationship to thinks he's about to die, and he looks up at the sky and he says, Great Spirit, give me back my old power to make things happen. That was broadcast this week, and I caught just a little tiny bit of it, and I heard that sentence and I thought about this. The effect of patience in God's people makes it possible for God to begin to do things, to answer the prayers those people make. Look around you. at the people that you admire in this church and ask yourself how many of them are impatient people and how many of them are patient, not indulgent, but patient people. And I think you'll find, as I do, when I start down that list, the number of people that I really admire how they function and what they accomplish and what things are happening through them. The ones that are impatient, there's a pretty short list there. But when I look at the ones that are patient without being indulgent, I see that. I walk into some of the children's areas. I see Mary Finch and other people like Mary Finch that are working down there. They have a level of patience with these little kids that's just wonderful. My wife's one of those. I remember 20 years ago when our kids went into a little children's program, and there was, I think it was Mom's Morning Out, and there was supposed to be two of them taking care of the kids that morning, because what happened was the mothers would come in and take a role certain days of the week, and then other days of the week other mothers would come in and they'd get a day off. And so this one day, Barbara came into the room. She'd been out doing something, and the room was just in total chaos. The kids all out of control. And about 10 seconds after Barbara came in the room, everything was quiet, calm, and all this. And I remember that other mother telling me later, I don't know what she did. She just walked into the room and was able to say a couple of things. Now, she'll tell you that that's not true. She can't calm them that quick, and this week would have been an example of that. But the truth is, there are some people who are patient without being indulgent, and good things happen in and through them. Spiritual good comes through people who have learned the patience that God's servants ought to have and begin to carry that into effect. Now, the place I just was going to take you that's serious is over in 2 Peter. I'm not sure there's any sections of Scripture that have a whole lot more power for me than this section in 2 Peter chapter 3. I'm going to start in verse 3, and the focus is a little bit further down. I'll tell you when we get there. Don't forget, friends, that in the final days there will come sarcastic scoffers whose life is ruled by their passions. What has happened to the promise of His coming, they will say. Since the fathers died, everything has gone on just as it did since the beginning of creation. They deliberately ignore the fact that long ago there were heavens and earth formed out of water and through water by the word of God, and that through those same factors the world of those days were destroyed by floodwaters. It's that same word which is preserving and reserving the present heavens and earth for fire, keeping them till the day of judgment. But there is one thing, this is verse 8 and this is our focus, there is one thing, my dear friends, you must never forget. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day. The Lord is not being slow in carrying out His promises, as some people think He is. Instead, He is being patient with you, wanting no one to be lost, wanting everyone to be brought to repentance. God's patience should be a model for us. And God's model is, He wants everybody to be in right relationship with Him and works on that. He wants nobody to be out of proper relationship with Him. We should want that too. Let's have a word of prayer as we go. Our Father, we realize that patience is something that is in short supply in the world we live in. Help us be those who, by our actions, by our thoughts, by our motives, add to the store of patience that's functioning in this world, not indulgently, but tempered with Your sense of rightness and the moralities that You have given to us. But nevertheless, let us be patient with those around us, working for the day that they will come to their senses, and that we will come more to our senses, and that together we can all be in right relationship with You. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.